Well, listen, it's lovely to be here. I was going to say back with you, but this is my first time here. It's great to be with you, and thank you so much for the invitation to come along tonight. We've had quite a busy time over the past 8 weeks. It's been non-stop, so if my voice starts to go in the middle of this, please excuse me. It's coming and going from time to time. I'm glad you were answering those questions and not me. But listen, I just want to start off. I've been asked to give a short word of testimony and then go in to what's been happening over there in Ukraine. And it's a verse that you all know so well, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it was a verse that spoke very loudly in my life from the background that I came from. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm sure you can tell by now I'm not from Belfast. Yeah, I remember going home to Scotland a few years ago, and they were building this flyover in Glasgow, where I'm from, and I got lost, and I stopped to ask for directions, and the fella said, "I love your Belfast accent." So I don't know where I am today, whether it's a Scottish one anymore or a Belfast one. But you know, even though I came from that part of the world, I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family, and went through all the usual routines and rituals of anybody brought up in that system. Sent along to chapel every Sunday to go through the rituals of what was taking place. Saturday you went along to the confessional box to have your sins forgiven, or so you thought. Didn't have a Bible. We were never allowed to have a Bible. The priest told us what we were meant to hear. So we didn't know that the Word of God was telling us who can forgive sins but God only, that no one has the right to hear your confession or certainly to tell you that your sins were forgiven. You know, I left home at 18 years of age. I joined the army, and guess where they sent me? Everybody gets sent here, didn't they? And came over here in the early 70s with the army. Before I came in Northern Ireland, I was in Germany, and part of our duties there was to look after Rudolf Hess, Hitler's deputy Führer. He was in Spandau prison, so we looked after the deputy Führer in Berlin for a number of years before we came to Northern Ireland, come over here with the army, finished my time in the army over here, and joined the RUC. For the next 24 years I would be in the RUC, and for 18 of those years I worked with Ulster's Führer, Mr. Paisley. I worked with him for 18 years looking after him and his family and Cypress Avenue in Belfast. So he didn't know at that time that it was a Roman Catholic guarding, protecting his life, and he had a real good laugh about it once he found out about it. But that was the bad old days. I wasn't saved. I was far from God, had no interest in the things of God. And it was while I was in the RUC that I came to faith. I remember there was a young believer who came into the police station one day. The police is a hard job for a believer. It really is, because you're expected to fit in with the system. You're expected to fit in with all your mates that you're working with. So you're expected to go behave in a certain way and do a certain thing. But whenever you become a believer, you can't take part in that anymore. And I remember this young believer coming into the police station this day, and he told everybody right away, he says, "But look," he said, "this is who I am." He said, "I'm a born-again Christian." And they all laughed at him. And I remember laughing at him. But when the laughing stopped, I thought, what is a born-again Christian? I didn't know what a born-again. Roman Catholics never used that phrase. And he became a good friend of mine. He lived in Newton Ards, so we travelled back and forward to work together. He would tell me all about his Saviour. I would tell him what the priest had taught me. And after about 2 years, I remember when I met him at first, he had applied to leave the RUC to join the prison service. And in those days, it took you maybe 4 or 5 months to transfer from the police to the prison service. 2.5 years later, he was still with me. And I remember that day, I was working with him. I said to him, "You know, when you started here in this station, you called yourself a born-again Christian. What does that mean?" He said, "Are you serious? Do you really want to know?" I said, "Yes, I do." I didn't realize that day I was under very strong conviction for the life that I was leading. And he said, "First of all," he said, "do you believe that you're a sinner?" And I said, "Yes." And young people, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're saved. Hope you are. but I don't know if you are, so I want to ask you the questions that he asked me. He says, do you believe that you're a sinner? And I said, yes, I do believe that I am a sinner. He said, good, because now you can be saved. And I'm asking you that question. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you? Because the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says, secondly, do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins upon the cross? And I said, yes, I do believe that. And I'm asking you that question. Do you believe that he died upon that cross? Because so many people will tell us that he didn't die. He went into a faint or a swoon. Some people will tell you, the Quran will tell you that he was replaced. And Barabbas or somebody else was put in his place. But the Word of God tells us that it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins upon the cross. Do you believe that? Because if we don't believe that, we can never be saved from our sin. Thirdly, he says, do you believe that on the third day he rose again from the dead? And I said, yes, I do believe that too. And young people, you know, we need to believe this. We need to believe that he suffered, shed his precious blood, died upon the cross, and rose again from the third day. And if we believe that, we can be saved. If we will just repent, turn away from our sins, and start to follow after Christ. Too many people today are telling us that if we just pray this little prayer and continue the way we are, that things will turn out okay. They'll not turn out okay. No prayer ever saved anybody. Prayer doesn't save us. It's a life that's wholly repented of and turned over to Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, if you want to be my disciple, this is what you have to do. Repent, take up your cross daily, and follow after him. That's where we're saved. This is where salvation comes in, upon repentance and following after him. And I remember that day. I went home that night. And I remember the day I left the police station. I was talking to him for about 4 hours that day. And I get into the police car, into Belfast. There was a robbery or something took place. And as soon as I stepped out the car, this man appeared in front of me. He said, son, have you been born again? And I couldn't believe it. After 4 hours of my friend and work, here was another man. Have you been born again? And I said, yes, I have. And I said, no, I haven't. He said, you must be born again. And he disappeared, never seen him again. But I went home that night, my friend had given me a little booklet. It just talked about sin, the Savior, and salvation. Things that I had never heard before in the system that I was brought up in. It talked about the sin that's in your life that we've all sinned. It talked about the Savior, that there's no other Savior but Jesus Christ. Because I was brought up in the system, it told me that there's no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. And now I was faced with this the dilemma. Who do I believe here? Do I believe this, or do I believe what the priest taught me? I decided to follow what the Scripture was telling me that day. And the Scripture was telling me very clearly that there's no other Savior but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It talked about salvation. It talked about if I was to repent and follow after him, I would have eternal life. Roman Catholic Church couldn't tell me that. They told me that I would maybe go to purgatory or limbo, you know, and maybe be cleansed there and maybe one day get to heaven. But the Word of God was telling me here that if I had the Son, then I would have life. And John said, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life abiding in you. And you know, I was sitting, drinking all this, and it was new, brand new. That was the first time I heard the gospel, 38 years of age. And that night, I went into the kitchen, I poured all the alcohol down the sink, I had a problem with it. I said, Lord, I said, I don't really know who you are, but what I do know about you, I want to trust in you. So I accepted him into my life at 38 years of age. I went into the police station the next morning, did what my friend done. I says, born again last night. They all had a good laugh. They said, you'll be okay in a few weeks. You'll be back with us in a few weeks. That was 28 years ago, so I hope they're not waiting on me. 28 years ago, this portion of Scripture, how true is the Word of God? I never read a Bible before. I never had a Bible before. Upon repenting, my friend gave me a Bible. Started me off in the King James, and praise the Lord, it's the one true Bible, isn't it? Version. And I just opened it. I'd never had a Bible before. I didn't know it was the Word of God. And I started to read it. I just fell in love with the Word of God. And I was reading it for 17 hours every day for the next 6 years. I just couldn't stop reading it. No matter where I was, I had to read it. Even looking after the dog, my face was in the book. And he said, "Don't worry about me." He said, "The Lord will look after me." He said, "You read, keep reading." And for the next 6 years, that's all I did was read the Word of God. I just wanted to know, who is this God who would love me like this? After all the lies and deceit I had been told for 38 years, who is this God who would love me the way that He loves me? That He would send His Son to the cross to suffer the way that He did and shed His blood and die for me. Who is this God? And you know, that's why I'm here tonight, because I love Him. I love Him very, very much for what He has done in my life, for what He has done for my wife and my family. You know, you wouldn't have wanted to know me 28 years ago, and this is why I can say this. This is why I can tell you that I love Him very, very much. Young people, you know, you only get one go at this. Make the most of it. Give your life to Christ. Surrender your life to Him. Stop focusing on things of this world. There's nothing here. There's nothing for you in this world. I know. 38 years out there, there's nothing there. There's only Christ. He is our only hope. I remember my wife coming to faith a few weeks after me, and my daughter are coming a few weeks after that. And then I remember the Lord speaking to me one day. I was sitting in the IUC, I had 24 years done. I was sitting this day counting my pension up. I said, "Right, if I do another 3 years, they'll double it and we'll get 30 years and I'll have a full pension, I'll be able to leave the RUC." And the Lord said, "Not so quick." And I said, "Right, okay." He said, "I want you to come out of the RUC. And I said, "Okay." I said to myself, "Okay, this is getting a wee bit dodgy. I'm putting my pension up here and the Lord's telling me to come out." Immediately Satan said to me, "Don't be listening to words like that." He said, "How are you going to feed your children? How are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to live and pay your bills?" He says, "Don't be listening to that there." And I said, "Lord, I'm coming." I knew that the Lord was moving in my life. He had changed my life dramatically and my family's life. And I remember I handed my notice in to the RUC after 24 years. And one of the last nights on the job was at the doc's house. And I remember thinking, "Lord, I know what you want me to do," because He had showed me what He wanted me to do. He wanted my wife and family and I to start reaching the elderly, the sick, orphans, different ministries like that. But as I sat at the doc's house that night, I had the Bible open at James, just the first chapter. And I said, "Lord, who are we?" I said, "I know what you want me to do, but who are we? We need a name. We need to be registered. Who are we?" And these three words, I'm not one for seeing visions or hearing sirens and all these sort of things, but these three words and the footnotes in the first chapter of James, it just said, "Faith in action." I says, "Lord," I said, "can you not give me another name?" I said, "I couldn't live up to a name like that. I would fail you every day." I says, "Give us another name." And every time I said it, these letters just get bigger and brighter. And I said, "Okay, Lord, Faith in Action Missions it is." So we live by faith. We don't talk about money. We don't fundraise. We don't deal with finances in any way. We trust the Lord to provide everything. And that way we know when God wants it done and not me. We trust in Him for absolutely everything that we have.